My dad died more than 30 years ago, and recently I've thought a lot about that occurrence in his life and in my life. He was 60 years old, and the further I get from 60, the more I understand how much he missed and didn't get to experience in those years. The other thing that I've noticed over that period of time is that in the early years following his passing, there was the thing that stood out in my mind the most was the trauma of that event and the trauma of that loss. But as the years go by, what I really remember now are the actions of the people who cared about me and the people of my family. And those things are the things that I think of, and those things are the things that come to my remembrance. Dad spent almost the last month of his life in intensive care. And after you've been in that situation for weeks on end, it becomes necessary for family kind of to take turns and shifts. And so based on the various things in our family, it fell our lot, Terry and I, to be there on the weekends. And one Saturday night, we came out of ICU about 8 o'clock as things were closing up. And there were three people from church sitting in the waiting room. And they said, "We want to take you to dinner." And that really wasn't what we wanted to do. It wasn't what we really felt like. But we went with them. And for just about an hour, we forgot what was going on. And we forgot what was taking place. And these people, to this day, remain folks that we're very, very close to. Not just for that event, but for other events like it. It was a moment where they really extended themselves in a dramatic and important kind of way. Dad died on a Friday night. On Saturday morning, people started to call, and one gentleman called and said, he didn't say, "Is there anything I can do for you?" He didn't say, "If you need something, call me." He just said, "I'm going to preach for you tomorrow." He was the superintendent of schools at Oklahoma Christian Academy, and we knew him very well. He was an amazing guy. He taught my Bible class. He preached Sunday morning, and in those days, we still had Sunday night church, so he came back on Sunday night and preached, and it was interesting because whenever I'd be gone from that point on, people would say, "Could you get Harvey to come back?" His name was Harvey Mead, and he's Piper Frost's grandfather. He was an amazing man, and I could go on and on and on talking about the ways that people extended themselves during that difficult period of time in my life. There are moments when you are extremely grateful to be part of a Christian family, to be a part of a group of people who care about you, people who sacrifice to reach out and support you and help you and enrich your life, because this situation where God placed us is a pretty unique one. He wanted to surround us with loving people. He wanted to put us in situations where we care about each other and we work with each other and we support each other in good times and in difficult times as well. I'm going to conclude the passage that I've chosen from Romans chapter 12, verses 11 through 13 this morning. We've already looked at the other parts of this. Verse 11 begins, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." And then verse 13, the verse we'll focus on today, "Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." We have a unique and special relationship to the Lord's people. And that could be such a blessing, but it also is a responsibility. It's something that we need to think about from time to time. And the first thing Paul says to those people is share with the Lord's people. And we think of that primarily as being financial. And certainly it does include financial matters. But it's broader and more complex than just financial things. There are so many other ways that we share with other people, except in addition to the financial things that we do in our lives. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." And if you're a King James fan, you'll remember that expression, household of faith, is the remembrance that's there. About 25 years ago, my phone rang at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. I answered the phone, and it was a young woman that I had never met. She was going from Tennessee to the West Coast, and her car broken down. And she needed help. And so in the middle of the night, we went and got her, brought her to our house. She went to church with us the next day, and she just met a bunch of people. There was a guy there, one of our elders, who was a mechanic, and he said, I'll take care of your car. Turned out her car was incredibly damaged and needed to have an engine replaced. And so he and several other people in the congregation took the task of replacing that engine during that week. She stayed with people in the church. I don't know if she bought a single meal or any item during that entire week because people took care of her the whole time. The lady that she stayed with asked her, after the young woman had gone on, she came to me and she said, I asked her if she felt bad about calling you. And she said, no. She says, my dad's a preacher. People call in the middle of the night all the time. And I just figured it was my turn. And she didn't say that in an arrogant way. It was like, that's kind of what we do, you know. And this person you'd never met before and we didn't ever see again is still, there's this unique moment in time when people rallied to her aid and took care of her and moved her back to the place where she was trying to go and trying to be. And what a gift. What a gift. Because people were willing to share. F. Lagarde Smith has written a couple of books. The first is the book, Who is My Brother? And I mentioned this book before because sometimes we go through that quandary. Well, who is family? And he does a masterful job in this book of explaining to us that there are levels of fellowship. Certainly there is this unique preference that we have in terms of our Christian family and our congregation. There's also connections that we have just with all of humanity, with other believers. And these circles just get broader and broader. Now, when I was preparing for this lesson, I looked up this book, and I found that there's a follow-up book to it, the next slide, called Circles of Fellowship. And I've not read that book, and so I can't recommend it, but I would suspect that it would be even more insight into those connections that's there. It's good for us to understand all those connections. I connect to people in my physical family. I connect to people in the broader world. I connect to all people. I treat people in special ways because they are human beings. But on the very, very top layer of this are the people that I'm family, Christian family with. Because Scripture teaches us about preference, if you would. Romans 12, verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. There are things we do especially for our brethren because of the relationship that we have with each other and because of the relationship we have in God. We kind of live by the axiom, family first. Not only does that apply to our biological family, it applies to our spiritual family as well. Well, Paul says to share. And then he says to practice hospitality. Now, that hospitality is a strange word. And it's especially a strange word for us today. Because when you think of the word hospitality, you probably think of either an industry or a ministry. And really, the Bible word for hospitality is radically different, very much different than the words we have a tendency to think of there. And sometimes when people come across this word, practice hospitality, in the Bible, it's like, especially in the New Testament, it's like, what does that mean? What really am I supposed to do in that circumstance or situation? Now, there's nothing wrong with an industry of hospitality. There's nothing wrong with the ministry of hospitality. Those can be useful and beneficial things. A definition is the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. But biblically, it would be a whole lot more than that. All you have to do is go to Genesis chapter 19. You find this very unusual story of Lot
and the men that he invites into his home. And we can see there that hospitality actually included providing protection for these men at a very extreme level. Now think about people in biblical times. They didn't have just a wide choice of fast food restaurants and places to stay. If you were away from home, who were you going to stay with? You were going to need somebody who would extend some hospitality to you. And so the way that they functioned was very much in that regard. Now, sometimes when I hear people say, well, we need to be more hospitable, what they mean is we need to bring people back into our homes. And certainly that can be useful and that can be beneficial. Doesn't always mean that we just turn the clock back to the 1950s or the 1960s. The culture and society have changed some. People don't spend the time in homes that they used to. When I was first starting out in ministry, one of our elders who lived not very far from me, and I probably mentioned this before, would sit out on the front porch of his house every evening, and anybody who wanted to talk to him could just stop by and have a conversation. And there really was a ministry that he provided. He could have very casual conversations or very serious kinds of conversations. We don't do that anymore. Our life doesn't function in that way. Is there anything wrong with meeting at a restaurant? No, not at all. When I was a child in the late 50s, my parents used to meet with other young parents at breakfast before church on Sunday morning. Now, can you imagine that? Those of you who have preschool children, you're going to get your preschool kids ready to go so that they can go and get messy at breakfast to go on to church. It was really wasn't a very good idea at all. But what it stands out in my mind and points out the fact is that that need for connection and that need for social was so extreme that young parents would even do something that was way out on the edge in order to have that opportunity to do that. It's not about where we meet, it's about how we meet. It's about the interactions that we have and how we utilize that time. I think that we could best describe hospitality as our willingness to use what we have to meet the needs of others. It could be our home, could just be our attention. It could be our focus. It could be our interests. It could be any number of things. In Romans chapter 12, verse 16, we have this very succinct statement. Live in harmony with one another. Now, if you listen to music, especially vocal music, you probably come to appreciate harmony. And boy, there's some singing that's really tight, difficult harmony. And when you listen to that, it's impressive to hear it. Now, is everybody singing the same in that situation? Typically not. I mean, if we're all singing the same notes, if we're all singing the same words at exactly the same time, that's unison. That's not really harmony. Harmony is when we put different pieces together in a coordinated fashion so that the end result is this beautiful thing. And I think as we think about our relationships, that's the place that we go back to. We want a harmonious relationship, not one that's filled with differences, but at the same time, not exactly the same. It all fits together in a perfect kind of way. Of course, we have to sing on the same key, and we have to follow the same leader. But it's not about us making ourselves just like everybody else. It's about a complementary way that we present ourselves. And then I'd like to look over at Hebrews for just a minute. In Hebrews chapter 13, chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as this is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." We encourage each other. How do you encourage somebody? It can be pretty simple sometimes. Phone call can be encouraging. Card can be encouraging. Just an apt reply, according to the book of Proverbs, can be encouraging. It's interesting in this passage, though, that there's a timeline. It says there's a limited amount of time to do this level of encouraging, because sin is at work, and sin begins to harden the heart. And something that might be encouraging to a person today might not be next week. They might be too far into the process for that to be meaningful to them. And so when we look at opportunities, we take them when they come, because that's the time that we have. And then, of course, the passage you're already thinking of is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some of us are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We're supposed to spur each other on to love and good deeds. And then that goes directly into the time that we meet together. So one of the things that we do when we come here is to encourage each other in those two specific ways. And we can take time to actually do that. Now, really easily we can get to the point where maybe we're talking about the weather, or maybe we're talking about the sports, or maybe we're talking about the things that bother us. Maybe we're talking in superficial terms. Doesn't mean that we have to have long and detailed conversations, but it does mean that we break through to some spiritual matters where we encourage each other in those areas. Hadn't been very far in the past when we got a really good taste of what it was like not to have Sunday morning church. You know, instead of coming here to the building, we got up and watched television or watched your tablet or something like that. And while that was useful, it wasn't the same. Why not? And we miss the personal interaction. We miss the opportunity to talk. We miss the opportunity to connect. We miss the opportunity to find out what was really going on in somebody's life. We miss the opportunity to say something, to be positive and encouraging, because encouragement just doesn't work as well in that situation as it does in a personal situation. And so we're blessed to have that opportunity. Every now and then I encounter somebody who says, I'm not going to church anymore. And my question is usually, well, why not? And the answer frequently is, well, I don't get anything out of it. And my response to that typically is, well, what do you give in that situation? You know, if you're not getting anything out of it, go to give to somebody else. Go to encourage. Go to strengthen. Go to help somebody else. And typically that isn't received very well. But it still is true. It really is. When we get here, there's more to do than just have our own needs met. There's an opportunity for us to give and to share. And you can get back in the car afterwards and say, well, you know, I didn't really get a whole lot out of that. And the thing to think about really is, well, how much did I give to that? And how much could I have blessed somebody else? How much time would it take to encourage 5 people? Could you do that in a minute? If you were pretty efficient, you could. Now, sometimes you would need more than that. Sometimes you get started and it involves a lot of time and you don't get to move on from there. But if we go in the door thinking, I'm going to make this a better day for somebody else, I'm going to encourage somebody else, I'm going to lift somebody else, I'm going to have somebody else grateful that they came today because they encountered me, that's what my challenge is going to be, then we have the opportunity to bless each other in so many different ways. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. And in the last part, just as in fact you are doing. And I want to say that that is true of this group of people. There are places and there are ways and there are opportunities where we could certainly go to even higher levels. But you all are very, very, very good about encouraging one another and building each other up. And that's a huge blessing to so many. Earlier, we talked about sharing with God's people. I don't know of anybody else who does a better job of that. All you have to do is say there's a need, whether it's a physical need or a financial need, and people respond to that. You guys are great at sharing. You're great at encouraging. And that is a blessing to each other, and it's a blessing to the kingdom. And we need to constantly be aware of how beautiful and powerful it really is. I'm not going to share any stories because I don't think it's appropriate. But for all the great things that our brethren have done, probably in your mind are those moments when somebody hurt you. It happens. And people that we love or people that we want to love us, maybe in a bad day or a bad time or just because of part of their personality, sometimes reach out and hurt us. James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be." We know that, but we make mistakes. We don't hold up the standard as well as we would like to. And hopefully when we do that, we look back and say, "God, I'm sorry." And if we need to, we talk to the person and tell them that we're sorry. And this morning, probably when you think about the positive things in connection with your church interactions, there may come creeping into your mind some of those negative moments as well. And please deal with those and allow God to forgive those. Allow yourself to move forward. We talked about Romans chapter 12, verse 12, a very popular passage last week. "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." I think there's a reason why this passage follows that one. Because if you are a person who is joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, then you're going to be that person who shares with the Lord's people and practices hospitality. It's that developmental process that's just a reality there. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for your family. We thank you for biological families. Father, we also thank you for spiritual families. We know that because of the spiritual families in which you've placed us, that we have blessings, but we also have responsibilities. Father, I just pray that we will continue to practice positive responsibilities in those relationships, because we know that people see you in the way we reach out and deal with each other. Father, give us strength. Help us to be aware of other people's needs and help us to meet those needs. Father, forgive us when we make mistakes and when we do things that damage relationships, and help us to resolve those situations. Father, we pray all this through your precious Son. Amen. If you find yourself at a place this morning where your life needs to be different, if your relationships need to be different, some of that maybe need to be done on a personal and private basis, and we'd encourage you to do that and to do it quickly. However, if you find yourself at a place right now where something public needs to be done, we'd be glad to help you in that process while we stand and sing this song together.